Accession number 14886, reel 2.
Mr. Everett, reel 2. Who was in charge of your unit? Who were you responsible to in Normandy?
Oh, the Major. The Major in charge of the unit, yes.
Do you remember his name?
Yeah, a Major.
Well, it'll come back to you later, probably.
I know where I've got it. Oh. Well, he was a short, fat man, actually. He was a bit overweight, I should think. And, what was his name?
Never mind if you can't remember.
I know after the war, he was in Jersey. He went to Jersey, lived in Jersey.
Did your unit get attacked in Normandy?
No, we didn't really. There was a few shells came over, but not as such. We weren't attacked, really. I wouldn't say that we were attacked.
Do you remember any of the places you visited in Normandy?
Yes, we went... When Caen fell, we went to Caen, and then it was a bit mixed up here, but we went into some fields and we waited there, and then it was later that the Battle of the Bulge came on, and the Americans were badly beaten and mauled there, and we went right the way round from just outside Caen, right the way round to the Battle of the Bulge, but we were held in reserve. We weren't opened up then. We were held in reserve, and the Battle of the Bulge was through, and we'd won that, and then we started going forward again, and that was then that the unit was broken up. We had to hand all our stuff back to a holding unit or something like that. The service corps drivers were all sent off to an infantry regiment. In fact, I think they went to a Highland regiment. And we went back to an RHU, a holding unit. And then from there, I went to the 36th British General Hospital, which was just outside Brussels then. And I served the rest of my time with that unit. We went from Brussels. We were there for some time. And then we changed COs. And we went up into Germany.
What kind of duties did you have in the 36th British General Hospital?
Oh, 32nd British General. Well,
32nd?
Just, yeah, they were ordinary regimental duties. They were a ward. I was a ward master, actually, they called us. I mean, I'd never known a general hospital before, so it was all very new to me. But they made me a ward master, and they put me on nights, actually. And my job was to check in people who came in during the nights, or if anybody did come in during the night, and make out a report each night of the ones out and the ones in.
Is a ward master like a sister in a hospital?
Yes, that's right, yes.
And were you just dealing with British troops in this hospital?
Oh, yes. We only had British troops. We didn't have any foreigners at all.
What kind of cases typically would you have
there? It was a psychiatric hospital. It was the only one on the continent. And they were shell-shocked, most of them. The patients were shell-shocked. And, in fact, we had... I think we had 8 wards, and 2 of them were locked, what they called locked wards. And we used to keep them there for a few weeks, and then when we got enough, they used to be shipped off home to England. And they were... the others were looked after in the hospital.
What were the symptoms which they showed of shell shock?
Oh... they were shaky. I mean, I can remember one incident where they got some captured guns and they were practicing somewhere outside the hospital, somewhere near. And one poor chap, he said, "Oh, Panzer gun, you know, and they were going like this. So that was the sort of patience they had, and then they were all very volatile. They were a poor, I shouldn't say this, but they were a poor type, really. They were the sort that really collapsed under power, and they couldn't stand the pace at all. So they were shipped back to us and then back to England.
So there were types, you mean, whom it could have been predicted would have...
That's right, would have cracked up.
Symptoms.
Yes, that's right.
Were they of all different ages or of one particular age?
Mostly of about 25, 26, something like that.
And did they come from all parts of the country?
Yes, all units. And all parts of the country, yes, yes. There was Welshmen and North Countrymen and all that.
And all different classes or just of one particular class?
Yes, they were all different classes because, we had an officer's ward and some of those were jittery and shaky.
Were any of them violent or aggressive?
Yes, we had two locked wards and they were aggressive. And in fact, they were all shipped out home eventually.
Were any of the staff injured by the patients?
No. The only one that was injured, I think, was me. There was one fella broke loose once, and I chased him, because we were in a convent, and I chased him, slipped on the thing and broke my wrist. So I had to go to a general hospital to have it put right.
What was done for the shell shock symptoms? What treatment was given?
They had formaldehyde, which was one of the things that they used. But mostly, if they weren't in a locked ward, they used to have a doctor in charge of each ward. And some of these doctors, he used to say, now, if you're at all worried and you all want attention or something like that, the sister's here, you can go and help her. So they used to go and natter to the sisters and talk and talk and talk. But that was the main thing that they used to do.
What effect did the formaldehyde have on them?
It calmed them down. It sent them off to sleep almost.
So they were put into a drug state?
Drug state, yes.
Do you think it was a good treatment?
I think so at the time. I mean, since then, of course, I realised now that there are different treatments for these fellas and that sort of thing. But at that time, I think it was one of the best, really.
What did the sisters think of the...
chatting about it. They got fed up with it. But they didn't show it. They were very good. They stood it and they listened and they talked and everything. But when they came off duty, they used to sort of say, oh, no, thanks.
Was the straitjacket used?
No, there wasn't. It wasn't used. No, the doctors didn't believe in holding them down at all.
Were the patients treated with consideration, or were
yes,
there any contention?
Yes, in the main, they were treated with consideration. But we did have one or two medical orderlies who, in civilian life, were mental health orderlies looking after mental health patients. They were a bit tough on the patients, they were. But mainly, we were all ordinary men, you know, ordinary civilians, and we looked after these chaps as best as could.
Did you feel sympathetic to
them?
Yes,
you felt sympathetic towards them.
In what way were the two ex-mental nurses?
Well, the ex-mental they were a bit tougher, you know. They used to say, you know, lay there. And I can remember one sergeant, he said, boy, he said, I've got a bloody bloke in the locked ward. He said, trouble. He said, I've got his balls. pulled him along with that till he passed out. So I said, that wasn't very nice, was it? He said, that's the way we deal with them in Surrey Street. But I think that was an isolated incident. I don't think the other chaps were like that.
How long did it take these chaps to recover?
I don't think they ever did recover. I think they were sent back to England and in hospital in England. And, of course, what happened to them, we didn't know. But I should imagine that they were pretty well whacked, I think, by the time they got there.
Don't you think they ever recovered?
Well, some of them did. I should imagine that when the war finished and they were discharged, they got better. But some of them, I think, some of them were really bad, you know, and they suffered all their lives, I should think.
Because nowadays we hear a great deal about counselling. Do you think that would have done any good?
Well, it might have done good, because we didn't have any counselling. The patients didn't have any counselling. So I think it might have done good. I mean, we've often discussed it, my wife and I, that, you know, we came back, we had a demob suit, 5 weeks' pay, and that was it. No counselling, no nothing.
Did you go into Germany before or after D-Day? VE Day.
After VE Day, I think it was. Yes, it was after VE Day. Now, VE Day is...
was March. March. May.
May 5.
45, the year after.
Yeah.
It's coming up now, you see.
That's right. Now, 45. Now, I came out when?
Not till 46.
Not till 46, was it? No, it would have been before VE Day. I think we were up at Hamburg. And we were there. And we were in the country, actually. It was a hospital that Hitler had built, and for a hospital out of a city into the country where it was sort of safer. And we had that hospital. And by then, of course, we'd changed. The CO was a Jew, actually. He took over. He was a colonel. Warrant Officer Class 1 was changed, and we were at this hospital, and the main hospital was down in a village. What was the name of the village? Anyway, they were in the main hospital, and then there was another annex out into the countryside, and I was put out in charge of this annex there.
This was near Hamburg?
Yeah. Mm.
Did you go into Hamburg and see the damage?
Oh, yes, I did. We went there. We used to go in on recreational trips and things like that, although, of course, we weren't allowed to mix with the civilians. But, of course, they had a big sergeant's club there as well. It was in the Maritime Hall. I always remember it. It was a long, long hall for restaurant purposes, and they had all boats up in the middle, from a little coracle right the way to a big full rigged one. Yes.
What did you feel about the Germans at that time? Did you feel they'd got their just desserts, or did you feel sorry for them?
No, I didn't feel all that sorry for them. I felt that they'd asked for it, and they got it. And this place that we took over, this hospital, there was a basement room which was locked, and I didn't take any notice of it, you know, it wasn't anything to do with me. But I did go down there one day, and I found three Germans, civilians. They'd opened it up and were looking in it, and it'd got all crockery and knives and forks and everything like that there. And I said, well, you know, what are you doing here? Well, they said, we want this for the refugees and things. I said, well, no, you don't have that. I said, out, you know. I'll get in touch with the colonel and see what he says. And I got in touch with the colonel, and he came down, and he said, oh, no. He said, this stop's locked. He said, we'll have this lot. So that was, you know, they were a bit iffy. You know, they were very, how can I put it? They were sort of very belligerent, really. And we had there were a lot of German civilians on the campsite, and they had a man in charge of them. And this fella, he'd been an army officer of some sort or other, and he on Saturdays he used to have his boots all polished and his breeches and things, and he used to strut around like that, and he was real. You know, maniac sort of thing. And I know the colonel came down one day and he said, these lights are too strong for these. He said, I want all these bulbs changed. So I said, oh, OK, then we'll get some bulbs and we'll change them. And this bloke said to me, phew, he said, here you are, senior NCO. He said, changing light bulbs. So I said, well, you can bloody well get up there and change them then. Oh, I said, go on up. So he get up there and he changed the light bulbs. But, I mean, they were the attitude of them.
Did you go into any of the concentration camps?
No, I didn't really. Belsen was released while I was up there, but I wasn't able to get right into there.
What did you think of this policy which the army laid down of not making friends with the Germans?
Yes, you weren't allowed to. Oh, no.
Did you agree with it?
Oh, yes, I thought so, yes. I thought, well, there's no fraternisation. I mean, when we were up in Germany, if the sisters wanted to go to the films or something like that, they used to send over to the sergeant's mess and say, well, look, these four sisters want to go to the cinema or something. Can we have an escort? And the sergeants used to form up an escort and take the sisters down. But it was very, very, very strict, really.
Were any British personnel, to your knowledge, attacked by Germans?
No, they weren't attacked by Germans. But I did have an incident. I was up in this annex sort of hospital place, and there was a WO1. I don't know what regiment or anything he was in, but he came down one day. And he said, oh, he said, I've got a weekend pass, he said. And he said, I usually have that place up there, he said. So I said, what place? So he said, well, that room up there. So I said, well, I said, you can't have that. I said, that's for the orderly officer. I said, when he comes down here, he said, he wants to sleep there. Oh, he said, oh, well. He said, perhaps I could have one of the other rooms. So I said, well, yes, you can. So I said, well, what's it all about then? Oh, no, no, he says, it's all right. But anyway, it turns out that it was a German girl he was knocking off, and he wanted to go in the room. So that was, you know, one thing that showed you that they didn't really stop fraternising, but...
What would have happened to him as far as the army was concerned?
He would have been charged, yes.
Do you have any VE Day memory? Did anything happen to you personally on VE Day?
No, I don't think it was. I think it was just the end of the war as far as we were concerned, and I didn't take any more notice of it. I mean, there was no... Well, I suppose we had a drink in the mess or something like that, but there was nothing more than that.
Or VJ Day? Anything happened to you on VJ?
No, VJ Day went without us knowing about it.